Pastor Lau and Pastor Dala Haprasit would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church in Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's anointed teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ. And now, Pastor Lau.
I'm so thirsty.
After we finish talking today, I pray that you all will come to that determination. I have only one life to live. I know that I cannot take everything with me on earth to heaven. I know that God is real. One day I will live my life in heaven for eternity. I want to please God. I know that the way to please God is to build the kingdom of God. And the tangible and practical way to build the kingdom of God is to build a local church and other local churches around you. Your priority, besides building your family and earning income and try to take care of your needs, you focus on building the local church. Use your gift, your talent, your time to build the local church the best you can. You plan, you think, what can I do to build it? Our life is so short and so limited in energy, in finances, in resources. So if you dilute yourself to do so many things at the same time, you will never become effective. That's why God say a man must have one wife, not many wives. Because if a man has many wives, he cannot build very well because he has to dilute himself to many houses and too many kids and too many women. So that's why he has to focus only one family. Is that the way it is? God build each family and you focus on your own family first. And after your family is strong enough, then you can help other families. But if you try to dilute yourself, running around everywhere, try to do everything, you will never build anything. When you die, nothing happened. Because you just dilute yourself everywhere. That's why the Bible says in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Jerusalem means your own local church, your own city, your own congregation. And then Judea, you are my Judea. My Jerusalem is in Seattle. I need to focus on building the church in Seattle. And then I help Judea, Samaria, Thailand, and to the end of the earth. Switzerland, Germany, and other countries. We are still doing that, but Pastor Da and I really focus on building New Hope International Church first. And out of that church, we have finances, we have manpower, we have everything to help other churches. Amen. So that is the way God thinks. You focus on your own family. Build it up. Do everything you can. If you don't focus, you cannot build anything. So I want to really encourage you to focus in your local church, that you build your local church very well. Focus on what I can do. Use your gift, your talent. Like Pastor Da's gift is very good in pastoring and gather people together to do the work. So every time we have some project in the church, Pastor Da will help to gather people, arrange, organize. My gift is teaching and preaching. So I would do a lot of preparation on preaching, teaching. I have 3 discipleship group. One is the older believers once a month. Another new leaders in the church once a month. Now I met the new believers or the American men about 2 times a month to build their life. So my focus is on making disciples and teaching and training people because that is my gift. You use your gift. If your gift is in technology, you can help in the technology. You need to focus. Amen. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 15, the Bible says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name." The Bible calls church as a family. The church is a family. The natural family and the spiritual family have the parallel principle. I focus on taking care of my wife and my children first, my family. The same thing, I focus on taking care of my spiritual family first. In fact, in the past 26 years, I'm so glad. Now I look back, I'm so delighted to build the New Hope International Church. I never think that I waste my time. I never think that this is a waste of time. This is something invaluable. It's so valuable because in the church, there's so many family come in. The kids grow up very strong now. Actually, we just talked on the airplane that one couple came to my church. This is a Taiwanese couple. And when they first moved to a big American church, they told me that, wow, I'm so concerned now that my two sons are backsliding. And this is a very powerful American church, very good teaching, everything, but their two sons are backsliding and they're looking for help. So they decided to move to our small church. Compared to that church that is a 5,000 member, we are only 400, so we are a small church to them. So when they move in, now the sons are on fire. The sons are involved in the ministry in the church. So I'm so happy that New Hope is the blessing to that family because we are building the church as a family. Actually, 2 days ago, the oldest son who was backsliding lied me. He used lie too, L-I-N-E. He lied me and say, "You are the best. Now I'm on fire. Can I meet you more? Can I learn more the Bible?" And he is only 17 years old. He's on fire now. The church is like a family. The single mom who came to our church are all taken care of. The widows are loved and taken care of. The kids, the fatherless in the world now, especially in America, statistically, as I heard, more than 50% of children are fatherless. Either fatherless because the dad died, or the dad walked away, or is the unwedded pregnancy. They have relationship and the man disappear. So many fatherless in the society. And the church is their family. The Bible says in the book of Psalm, our God is the father of the fatherless and the defender of the widows. So the church take care of the widows, the fatherless, help the family. So exciting that I and Pastor Da and our members are the part of doing that in this lost and dying world. What a privilege to serve the Lord and build the church, build the family of God. You know, I would never exchange this privilege to any other things. I don't care about position. I don't care about reputation. I don't care about having some title in the world. If I just can be in the house of God, serve people, build the church, help people to know Jesus and to grow, that's already fulfilling in my heart. It's the best thing to do is to build the church. Amen. So I want to encourage you today that from now on, focus. Don't let anybody to talk you out of it. Don't let any gossiping, any attacking, or any comments of man or the devil to talk you out of the local church and to stop building the church. Because this is the will of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Galatians chapter 6 verse 10 say, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." As a Christian, we have two parts that we have to be concerned about. One part is a negative part. The negative part is that we don't want to sin. We will not lie. We will not cheat. We will not gossip. We will not cause any bad reputation to anybody. We will not cause damage to anybody. That is the negative part. But there are other areas of life we call positive part. And actually, if you read the Bible carefully, God really charged against his people in many generations Not because they do bad things, but because they ignore doing the good things. And God charged against them. Doing good things. Doing good to the widow. Doing good to the fatherless. Helping other people in the church. Helping the new believers to grow up. Take care of them. Visit them. Called. Feed them. Teach them the Bible. Encourage them. So in our Christian life, always come these two parts. I abstain from wrong thing. At the same time, I will do the right thing. I will be a part of encouraging people in my care group. I will be the part of helping somebody to pay their electric bill. I will be a part of helping the widow in the church who struggle financially or lack friend to call and talk to. Something like that. We should get involved in the local church and do the good things for our family. You have limited resources. You cannot help people all over the world. That's why God say, yes, you should help other people outside, but the primary focus is in your own family. And that's where the church is. We help people in our own church. Amen? That's why when I got the invitation from another country to go to preach some big seminar, some big conference, the first thing I look at my calendar, will this affect the churches that I take care of first? I want to give priority to the churches that are my family, not outsider first. If I have leftover time, I will fly there. But I will not ignore or forget about taking care of my family first. Amen? So we need to have that mindset. I will take care of my church family. I will do everything to help the kids in the church, the widow, the fatherless, and new believers and people. I will look after those ministry first. And when you join the church, you also are trained to grow up to become strong believers as well. And you help to train other people. Ephesians chapter 4, 12 to 13 say, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, teachers, and pastor work to prepare God's people for works of service. We have the work of service to do. We need to serve the Lord. Don't be just pew warmer. Don't be just consumer. I don't like consumer mentality. I come to church. Give me, give me, give me, give me. Bless me. Do something for me. No, we need to go to church and think, what can I give? What can I contribute? What can I do to contribute and to help other people? Because the Bible says we are trained for works of service. Serve others. And if you serve others, God will take care of your need. Really, I mean, I can witness in the past 30 years, I take care of God's house. God takes care of my house. Always take care of my house in every way. I'm serious. Either he sent people to help me. Actually, one of my toilet is broken right now. Suddenly somebody show up and say, okay, I take care. I will buy a new one for you. I will put it in for you. God, just take care of me. I don't have to even touch that toilet. Somebody take care of my toilet. Amen. When I bought my house in year 2007, just before the stock market crashed, and I would look at my house payment each month and, wow, this is too big. It's very big, but I want to make my wife happy. So she liked that house. I need to buy that house for her. Happy wife, happy life. I bought that house for Pasada. You see, I take care of God's house. During that period, I got extra income through my practice, supernaturally, that I could pay that house off in 3 years. And now I have no debt. I took care of God's house. He took care of my house. Amen. Amen. I took care of God's children. He takes care of my children. He takes care of my 3 children and my grandchildren very well. God is so gracious. He helped me take care of my family. Everything. He protects me. He provides for me. I heard the testimony from Brother Elmer that God takes care of his business supernaturally. Why? Because he takes care of the house of God. So God takes care of his business. Amen. is a determination in here. I have one life to live. I determine to live for the kingdom. I determine to build something really good before I die. That sometimes I notice Thai people in Thailand, even though they did not believe in God, but I heard some comment that before I die, I'd like to build one temple. I want to donate my money to build. When they say build, it means build a building. Build one temple building before I die. And I was thinking they are Buddhists and they think that we have a Christians. Why don't we just build at least one church, good church? And when that is good church, that church will bless other churches. Amen. Amen. We need to put that root down, the tree that root itself into the house of God shall flourish. If you don't root yourself, you will never flourish. Have you ever seen a tree that keep being pulled out every 3 days? Pulled out, put in, 3 days later, pulled out, put in new one. 3 days later, pull out, put in new one, put in a new land. You think that tree gonna survive? Is that tree gonna produce fruit and flourish? No. You need to root yourself somewhere, pull up your sleeve and build it and do something significant in that house. Amen. You need to make that decision. I'm gonna be that kind of committed, faithful, loyal Christians. This morning, I got the email from Thailand that one gentleman was arguing with a non-believer about all the Christianity question. And one of the question, I haven't answered him yet. One of the question, he said, it's not fair. Why God allow some people to were born with being bald? Some people are thin. Some people have small nose, not nice big nose. It's not fair. That is a question, really. The question from a non-believer. He said, God, it's not fair. Why some people are good looking? Some people are not good looking. I don't know the answer already. The most important thing in the eyes of God is not about outward appearance. It's not about your skin color. It's not about your head knowledge, your education, how many PhD diploma on the wall. The most important thing that God look at you is your heart. What kind of heart you have? God is looking for the people who make a decision to have a loyal, committed, honest, steadfast, faithful heart. And because God created us to have free will and choices, you need to make choices. You need to make decision. I'm going to be a man and a woman who is faithful, very steadfast, loyal, and honest, holy heart, righteous heart. And if you are like that, God gonna use you. It's not about outward appearance at all. In the eyes of God, it's about the heart issue. So when you are that kind of Christian, you are loyal, faithful to your pastor, to your church, you build. You are not yo-yo. One day you love your pastor. Another day you hate your pastor. Up and down. One day you say, oh, my church is so good. Another day you complain. No, make decision. Amen. I make decision. The same thing in my marriage. I will love only one lady. And her name is Da. I had only one girlfriend since 15 years old. And her name is Da. I love only one lady and marry her. And still, I have one lady in my heart. I want to be that kind of man. I love only one wife and I will not unloyal to my wife. Amen? Because that is the heart I need to have. And because I want to be loyal to her. Amen? So God really look for those people. Steadfast. Like Ruth, like David, like Joshua, Moses. Elijah. You notice that everyone that God used in the Bible have that kind of heart. They are very focused. They are doing what God called them to do. They are not sway back and forth, up and down, yo-yo, like a roller coaster. They are very focused and they do what God called them to do. And they are successful and God used them. Amen. So you come in to be trained for the work of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. God wants His body, His church, to be built up. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. God wants us to become mature. To be mature like Jesus. He doesn't want us to be baby forever. You cannot be mature if you float around and not committed. You need to be committed. You need to pass through all the tests. Sometimes God allows difficulties to happen in your church. Maybe suddenly half of the church are gone. People come in, 50 people, suddenly 25 people left. And that is the test from God to see whether you are the steadfast person or not. Are you determined that this is what I'm going to build, or you're going to be going by emotion, going by the public comments, going to go by newspaper, or you say, I am a man, I'm a woman who is committed, and I don't care what other people say. This is what God called me to do. I will build this church, and the time of victory will come. There are the times of tests, and at the time of victory. Amen? Believe me, I have gone through all of this myself. Sometimes suddenly people left the church. Sometimes I get attacked. Or right and left, but I never gave up. I keep going and going because I know exactly what God called me to do. I know exactly what I need to do in this life. I'm not up and down. I just keep running the race by faith. Keep running the race to the end. I just want to challenge you to be that kind of Christian, to be steadfast and one goal to build the kingdom of God together. Amen. And He wants us to be mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. The Bible talks a lot about the local church. God used the local church to manifest His wisdom to the world. To come to this point, I want to say that for me and Pastor Da, we decide according to the Bible, according to the words of the Lord, according to His heart, His plan, and His will. We say, yes, Lord, we will live to build Your church. We will do anything You call us to do to build the local church, to be a part of building the kingdom in this world for You. Amen. Amen. We will never give up. We will not be swayed to the right and left. We will focus and get the job done in this generation. And I know that one day when I stand before Jesus Christ, He will smile and say, son, thank you so much that you pour out your life to build my body, to build my house. Thank you so much. Come into my kingdom with great rewards, with the cloud of righteousness, with the cloud of glory. I have no doubt at all. The last minute, the last breath I have before I die, I know that I can smile and I say to God, I finish the race. I get the job done. And I know that I have fulfilled my calling. I want you to be that kind of people. Amen. Believe me, the devil gonna come and try to deter you out of the way. The devil will send somebody to talk to you in a negative way, to pull you out into the world, to make you discouraged. The devil will try to stop you from following the way of God. You need to stand firm and say no, if, and, or but. I will serve the Lord. Like Joshua say, I and my house will serve the Lord. Nothing can stop me. Amen? Amen. I pray that on that day, when Jesus comes back, we all going to stand together and look at each other's eyes and say, good, we finished the race. No one quit. No one walk away. We make an impact to this generation. Amen? Amen. We live this world is not just for this generation, for our generation. When I look at you, I think about your kids. Think about your family. Irvin, you don't build this church just for yourself, just to have a social group here. You build this church for for your kids too. If you build a good church, your kids will be saved. Really. And that's my goal. Now our church has come to the third generation. About 20-something years ago, we held a baby. Her name is Nisa. Now Nisa is a youth group leader. My son got involved in the video ministry. Many, many kids that were born when we started the church, now all of them serve God and are leaders in certain ministry. One boy named Joseph Sai, now he's a worship leader. He play piano and sings so beautifully. I'm so glad I and my wife pour out our life for the past 20-something years. Not just me and her, but we are preparing, building the house for the next generation. It's so valuable. It's worth it. It's so good. Now I look back. I'm so glad I built New Hope International Church. My kids are not in drugs, in pornography, in bad stuff. They still follow God. Amen? Amen. So Irvin and Hazel, you're doing this not just only outsider to get saved, but you're doing it for your family. Amen. Let's build a good church together. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 3, 10 to 11 say, His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to His eternal purpose, which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know what is the most important equipment or instrument or institution that God is used to demonstrate His wisdom to this lost world? Not media, not school, not university, the local church. We need to build a local church to demonstrate the power of God, the wisdom of God. He said, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers. Amen? Rulers and authorities are the fallen angels out there trying to destroy this world. And we are the army of God that will show to them God's still winning. God still has the last words. God's still on the victorious side. We are the salt and the light of this world. We're going to change this generation and prepare for the next generation to come. Amen. You are not put in this world just to go to school, to work, to get paycheck, to buy a car, buy a house, and die. You're in this world with the heavenly purpose and destiny. Those things, you do it because you have to pay your bill, but it's not your final purpose. Your final destiny is to build the kingdom of God that will last for eternity. That's why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not overcome it. You build the church. Jesus said, I will build my church. And He used you to build the church. He's using you. You are His hands, His eyes, His nose, His mouth, His legs, His feet to build the church. And He said, the kingdom of hell cannot overcome it. You shall overcome. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. The church is so precious in the eyes of God. That's why the Bible says in the 1 Corinthians chapter 11, listen carefully. The Bible said that if you don't discern, the Bible talk about people who don't discern the body of Christ shall die soon and get sick. In 1 Corinthians 11, go back and read. I don't have the scripture with me here. He said, those who don't discern the body of Christ already pass away before time or get sick. Why? Because the church is so valuable. He bought the church with His own blood. You have to be careful. Don't do anything to destroy the church. Because if you don't do that, you're facing God's judgment. Sooner or later. I've seen this all the time in my life. Many people tried to destroy my church. They died. They got sick. I remember one time, maybe you heard this story in my preaching in the past. When I started the church, a man tried to attack me, tried to say, don't go to this church, this church will not last. He tried to attack me, tell all the Thai people in Seattle that this man could not be a pastor. He attacked me. He owned a shop. While he was standing in the shop, suddenly he collapsed on the ground. After he attacked me for a couple of years, he collapsed on the ground. He went to the hospital and was found to have abscess in the liver that broke out into the whole abdomen. And he was close to death this much. I went to visit him in the ICU at University of Washington, pray for him, and God saved him. I did not revenge. He tried to destroy me, but I went to pray for him. So many people, one man tried to destroy my church. He got into a big car accident. Therefore, you have two choices. Actually, three choices. Number one, I don't care about church. I don't do anything. Just become neutral. Two, participate in building the church. Three, destroying the church. And if you destroy the church without repentance, you will face judgment. You will not live a long life, or you will get sick. That's what the Bible says. It's not my word. It's in the 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Be careful. Don't touch the institution of the church, no matter what. I don't want to touch any church at all, because that is the apple of his eye. He loved the church so much. If you touch a church, you touch him. Remember when the Apostle Paul tried to persecute the church? What did Jesus say on the road to Damascus? He said, why are you persecuting me? Wow. When you touch a church, you are touching Jesus himself. And if you don't repent, eventually, going to be a judgment, a spank. So we have to be careful. Amen? I told people, if you don't like that church, if you feel that you are not called to be in that church, you don't agree, just walk away quietly and leave. Don't start to stir up gossiping, destroying, talk bad about the pastors, and talk about, oh, what they don't have this, and compare to that church, cause all the people to get upset and leave the church. Big group of people leave the church because of your gossiping. That is seeking judgment from God. Because you are touching Jesus Christ. He loved that church. Period. No matter what, there's no perfect church in the world. There's no perfect pastor. I'm not perfect either. I make a lot of mistakes. But if anyone touch me, they're in trouble. Because I'm serving the Lord. And they're touching the servant of God. Amen? Whose side God gonna take? God gonna take my side. Because I'm the one who sweat to build the church. And they are the one who gossip about me. And destroy the church. I'm saying this strongly because I just want to warn everybody who listen to this teaching. Please, if you don't like it, walk away quietly. Don't attack the church. You are seeking problem. Amen? Just stay away and then go to the church you like. And there are so many churches out there. You don't need to come to this church. Amen? And I say the same thing to my members. If you don't like this church, go. You don't need to stay here. But don't try to gossip in this church. You stir up all the dissension and division and all kind of stuff. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, you were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. You honor God with your body because you are bought by the blood of Jesus. You live a life that honor God, honor his word, honor his things, honor his spirit, honor the church, honor his leaders, his appointed leaders. We should be honorable people. Everything that we do, we should honor the Lord. You watch your behavior. When you walk into the church, do you honor God? Do you honor the man who was preaching? Do you honor your leaders? Do you honor the word of God? The spirit of God? God died for you. Don't play game. Amen? Don't dishonor God. You honor the Lord. Because God said when you honor him, he will honor you. I want God to honor me. Amen? And God really honor you. I share In many sermons that lately the medical fields have been changed, that all the hospitals hire their own surgeon. I am in the private practice. So it means that I will not get referral that much anymore. The hospital try to keep their own money, so they will try to encourage their internists to refer patients to their own surgeon. But if this is evident, they can be sued with millions of dollars. Because by law, you need to refer patient to the best surgeon, not to your own surgeon. Actually, there is one hospital in America that has been sued and have to pay $60 million already, lost in the court. Because you cannot do medical field with financial gain. You need to do it with the best of the patient interest. But it's still happening. Because you don't have the paper to show them that they are doing it. If they find out in the internet that you encourage your own doctors to send patients to your own kind, you are in trouble. The Medicare will sue you. Even though that kind of thing start to happen in Seattle City, I still have a lot of new patients. And I ask all of them, why you come here? They say, oh, I check the internet. I Google and find you that you are the top. The top not only in Seattle, but the top in America, because there is one website in America that ranked me as a top neurosurgeon in Seattle. God honor me. I don't need to lift myself up. God honor me. Because I honor God. Everything I do, I always think my action and my words will honor God or not. The way I treat God. Do I honor His word or not? Do I honor His spirit? Do I honor His anointing? Do I honor the church? Do I honor His servant? I honor the things of God, the plan of God or not? If I honor God, I know God will honor me. God will be on my side. Amen? So from today on, honor the leaders in the church. Honor the church. Honor His way, His plan. Do everything to honor Him. On Wednesday night, we went out to feed the homeless. Oh, so sad. When you went into the street and feed the homeless, you saw people walk in. They have no home. They're so poor. They just look terrible. And these people walk by. When you say hi, they don't even look at your eyes. You say, thank you for coming. I don't care. They just come for food. The food that we prepare for them is better than restaurant. It's the top quality food. To the point that the guard that look after that area of feeding the poor, the security guard, say that in the past many years, this is the best food I have ever eaten. Can this church come more? We have turkey. We have food from Thai restaurant. We have all kind of nice dessert. It's like big feast for the homeless. Do you know why we do that? Because we want to honor Jesus. We want the homeless to know that if Jesus feasts, it's going to be good feast. Not going to be leftover food. We give the best to you. Oh, they're all happy. Eat 2 or 3 plates. They keep eating. So everything we do the best for God. Excellent. For God. Amen. Because we want to honor Him. Amen. So we are Christ soldier. We are Christ soldier, and we want to do the best for Him. We want to build the church. We believe that as we build His church, He will take care of our life. As we seek the kingdom of God first, all these things will be added unto us. All the things that we need. Special favor. Extra protection. Special strength. Divine health and healing. God will keep you healthy, strong. You know why? Because God needs you. You will not get sick. You need to live a life in such a way that God cannot go without you. You are indispensable. Is that right? The right word? If you don't show up in the church on Sunday, the church will kind of suffer. So He has to say, hey, cold cannot touch this person. Cancer cannot touch because I need her or him in the church on Sunday. He's going to keep you healthy. Last few days, my assistant at the medical office got sick and coughed and coughed, and she could not miss her job. when I come to her, I say, oh, don't cough around here. And then some patient walk in and cough too. Definitely as a doctor, I was concerned that I'm going to get a cold. But I say, in the name of Jesus, cold cannot be on me. I need to fly to Phoenix. I need to be healthy to preach. You cannot touch me. I need to be healthy. Amen. Hallelujah. You need to live your life that way, that God look from heaven and say, I need this person. Don't touch him. Devil, cannot touch him. I need this person to do the job for me. That the way you should live. Build a church. Be on God's side. And he will take care of you everything in detail. Amen. I find this secret since I was a young believer. That's why all these 30 years we run the race. We never stop. No matter what, we run the race. We build a church. We help every church that come to us. Amen. Any pastor that come to us, we help them. We help them build a church. Because we know the church is the institution that God is caring and want to build. He wants to build the church. So we know in our heart we are doing God's will. And God will be on our side. I pray that this church and your church will grow. God will add to you more numbers, good people. And I pray that everyone who come to your church will prosper, will rise up to the next level, will overcome every obstacle, will be the head, not the tail, will be above, not beneath. Your family will do well. Your children will grow up strong and mighty in the land. You will build the house of God that will pass on the legacy to the next generation to come. One day when you stand before Jesus, you will say, I finished my race. I built your church in this generation. And I'm glad that I have done that for you. Thank you, Jesus. You will smile and say, I have made the right choice in this one life that I live. Amen? Amen. The best thing to do in this life is to live for the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen. And right now, there is a great cloud of witnesses in heaven on the grandstand. Peter, Paul, Joseph, David, Elijah, and Elisha are looking at you and cheer you on and say, go for it, go for it. And you shall be blessed by the Lord. Amen? Amen. And you don't need to do this by yourself. We do as a team together, as the army of God. Praise God. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to be encouraged, to be inspired, to be reminded, to be taught and trained to live for the kingdom. God, we see in the Bible that the church is the apple of your eyes, is your desire. You intend to build a church in every city. And Lord, after we learn these scriptures, we decide, Lord, to live our life for you, to pour out our life to build your church. Lord, help us to be focused, to be loyal, faithful, and committed people. Help us, Lord, to stand on your word, not listen to the lies and the deception of the enemy, Lord. We make decision to love one another, love our pastor and leaders, love your church, and we will bring in souls, make disciples, give us gifts and talents to build your church. Bring in people with different gifts to help us, Lord, to build your glorious church. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, we pray. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I hope that this message will remind you and inspire you to continue to run the race. Amen. Don't give up. Hallelujah. God bless you.
We trust that this message is ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching CDs, please contact us at 206-275-1042. You may also visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.com. I'm so thirsty.